Morning, church. Good to have everybody here. Go ahead and have a seat. This morning, we are going to finish the book of Colossians. And so open up your Bibles to chapter 4. And if you do not have a Bible, we want to encourage you, raise your hand, and our ushers will pass one to you. So that way you can follow along. And if you do not have a Bible of your own, listen, Merry Christmas. You can have it, okay? We want to give every person an opportunity to have a copy of God's Word. And so turning your Bibles to Colossians chapter 4, and while you're doing that, I do have one other announcement to share with you, and it's exciting. You know, one of the things that we have been praying for, and that is that as a fellowship, that God would bring hearts who he wants here. And over the course of time, you know, what's interesting is that prior to COVID, inside our sanctuary, we had over 460 chairs, okay? Right now, we have about 370, okay? And so it's getting a little bit more, I would say, crowded. But I do not want to put all 470 chairs back in, because then it's going to feel like you're breathing on the person's neck. You know what I mean? I mean, I kind of like the spacing that we have right now. But of course, with this service and second service just as packed as this one of the things that we have been looking at and praying for is what are our immediate needs. And so with that, as much as it is packed in here, it's also packed in our children's ministry. Yes, praise the Lord for that. And if you haven't noticed, it's also packed in our parking lot. And so we have plans to, Lord willing, in the future. The property that is across the street from us is our property. And so we're going to look into possibly extending our parking lot there as well. But in the meantime, what God has led us to do as a church is we are now going to, beginning April, the first week in April, is we will be going to three services on Sunday morning. Yes, praise the Lord. So how would that look? Because I know all of you are going, there is no way you're going to do three services in the morning. But listen, we're going to have an 8 a.m. service. That service will not have any child care. And then we'll have a 9:45 service and 11:30 service, okay? So that'll give us time to, Lord willing, balance out our children's ministry and then also make room for our parking lot. And along with those changes, of course, we need help. One of the greatest things that we want to do is continue to learn how to develop each and everyone's gifts and also learn how to use them here so that God would in turn help us use them outside of this building. And so along with an overhead here, you can notice we have a lot of needs, from cleaning ministry to ushers and greeters to our sound ministry and all of the other tech side of it. And I hope and pray that you would understand you do not have to be afraid of those ministries. We have amazing servants that will more than willing to teach you how to be in these ministries. And so, but we do need the help. We need to create a few new ministries. Listen, one that God has put upon our heart is we obviously need a parking lot ministry, right? But along with that, listen, there are some people within our body who would love to make it to church. And we want to be able to provide that service to them. So we would need couples to volunteer on a Sunday, use one of our church vans and go pick up a few people so they can join us here for service. And so we want to be an extension to our community. We want to be available, and this is how we do it. And so what I'm asking of all of us is to pray and ask the Lord which one he would want you to be a part of. Because again, we can't do this on our own, and we want as many people to hear the word of God as possible. And so we want to ask that you would pray over that. Also, along with those changes, our Spanish ministry is going to start meeting every single Sunday as well, but they're going to be meeting at 2 p.m. in the afternoon. And so we need to be praying for them because the Spanish ministry is growing as well. So it's an amazing blessing for all of us, right? Would you agree? Amen. So with that, please make sure that you look at that list carefully, see the Connection Center to pick up a ministry questionnaire, and then we will get you plugged into the ministries. And again, April, the first weekend of April is when we're starting everything. And so I'm looking forward to it. And you guys can be praying for me as well as the staff. Sound good? All right, let's all stand out of reverence for the Word of God. I'm going to read a few verses and then we're going to jump on in. But here we go. Colossians chapter 4, beginning in verse 2. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us that God would open to us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time, and let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. Father, we come before you this morning, and what a blessing to have your word opened up. And as we prayed earlier, please help us all to be drawn into your presence. May we all, Lord, again, realize the blessing that we have, that though we're in this building, Lord, your promise is where two or more are gathered in your name, you are there in the midst. So, Lord, we are in awe that we have you with us this morning, as well as many other fellowships as well. And so we pray that with every church today, the name of Jesus would be exalted, that every church that is proclaiming the gospel will continue to open up that door for others to come into that saving knowledge of who you are. And we pray specifically for us today. Speak to us as a church and as individuals. And so, Lord, we love you. We thank you that you are here with us. Now, please speak to our hearts. And it's in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. You know, as we get ready to close this amazing epistle, I want to kind of do a little quick recap of the second part of our letter. And of course, Paul has been exhorting the saints and the church today basically to live out what God is teaching you, to live in the newness of life that we now have because of what Christ did on the cross. And we've seen throughout chapter 3 and 4 that Paul challenged all of us to set our minds on things above, to remember that this place is not our home. Can we say amen to that? Amen. Right? We're just pilgrims passing through. We can enjoy the things of life here. We can go on vacations. We can go out on a boat. And like I said, if you have one, invite a brother, okay? We have all the blessings that we can enjoy here on this life, but this place is not our home. One day we are going to be with the Lord for all eternity, and that's the greatest reward. And so we are heaven bound. Paul also challenged us to put off the old man. In other words, don't let anything separate you from the Lord, especially anything that is worldly. And we looked at a crazy list, and we're not going to go through that list, but if you want, you can go back and look at the study. But the beauty of putting off the old man once again is because of Jesus. Everything that he did for us to set us free from our past. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that, you know, sometimes we may have people say this, oh, I'll forgive you, but I won't forget. Right? Have you ever had that happen? Okay. Maybe just me? Okay. All right. I'm feeling a little nervous here. But isn't it awesome that God doesn't look at us that way? He doesn't say that to us. And one of the things that I pray that we would remember is that as Christ has set us free from our past, we now need to move forward. There's no need to look back. We need to move forward in the things of the Lord. And so that's when Paul also encouraged us to put on the new man. Today, make a choice. And if choice is to live for the Lord or to live for this world. And even though we live in a world that's full of evil and hate, our greatest desire is to choose to live for Jesus. Our greatest desire is to love all people with the love that God has given to us. Now, is that easy? And I think if all of us were transparent in church, don't lie, Don't raise your hand. But all of us would agree that that could be challenging. It could be difficult at times. But we're called to love with agape love, a God kind of love. And the other thing that Paul went on to encourage us with is this, is that in order for us to, you know, love like this, he went on to give us examples of how to love well with wives, husbands, children, fathers, bondservants, and masters. You know, Pastor Matt did an amazing job last week, wouldn't you agree? Praise the Lord. And I love the way he stressed this. Don't be upset with the messenger. That was one of the key things that I walked away with. And it's so true. We're just giving you God's word. And he did it very well. But again, those interpersonal relationships that we have, especially with those who are closest to us, it is amazing that God challenges us that we're to love and love well, and it starts in the home. It starts with the way that we treat our wives and how wives treat their husbands. You know, somebody once shared this with me, and he says, you know, I'm really sick and tired of seeing TV shows that put down men as the weaker vessel in the families. There's so many shows where the wives are just completely, you know, bashing their husbands. And you know, I'm not saying that it's real life, but reality is there are some families that are operating that way. And the reality is that's not the order that God wants it to be. And if you wives are the ones that are doing that, you might be like, well, you know, he ain't stepping up. We'll give him a chance. Because if you're praying for him, and if you're asking God to give him the wisdom and the ability to lead, don't you think that God can do it? And it's important for us to keep that order proper. And one of the greatest, listen, for us as parents, the greatest example that we're ever going to give our kids and how to love the Lord and how to be treated is how we treat one another in the family. If you're a business owner, how are you treating your employees? You are the one responsible for giving them, you know, the right amount of pay, being just and fair. God will take care of you. And it's examples that he gave us in how to love well, because God's desire overall is this: if we walk in obedience, if we love like Jesus loves, then this is what happens. He teaches us how to love one another. And I know I shared this with you about my past, and I have to keep sharing it because it's so true. Whenever we take our eyes off of the Lord, our regular nature will pop up. And I'm so thankful that God spared my marriage. I'm so thankful that even though there was a season of being separated, God brought us back together. But God did it. And when we learn God's ways, again, he teaches us how to live for him. So Paul is now getting ready to close this letter, and this is the outline for today. He is going to give us some final words about being devoted, you know, about just devoting yourself to prayer in verses 2-4. And then in verses 5 and 6, he's going to challenge us to walk in wisdom with those who are outside, and we'll talk a little bit more about that. And then from verse 7 all the way up to verse 18, Paul's going to give us examples of those who walked in wisdom. And we're going to be pretty blessed by this list. And so let's go ahead and jump in verse 2. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Paul's greatest desire is to devote yourself to prayer. Now, Paul not only practiced a consistent prayer life, but he also prescribed it. In other words, his desire was for the saints to follow suit, to copy, to mimic, to do those things that he was doing as well. To continue earnestly means to be devoted, to be faithful. And listen, to be faithful in what? Talking with God. Beloved, this is one of the most basic definitions of what prayer is. That is, it's it, talking with God. And so, it is interesting as a believer, and as I've been walking with the Lord for some 30 plus years, For many believers, not all, but for many, they only pray occasionally. Some, it's their last resort instead of it being their first. They try everything else, and when everything else fails, then they turn to God, when it should be the other way around, where we should be seeking God first and watch what he'll do. Because I guarantee you, if you go to him first, you won't need counsel from anybody else. He's going to give you what you need. The other time where prayer may be normal for a lot of people is when a time of trouble or crisis comes upon them. Have you ever noticed that? When you're in trouble or a crisis happens, oh man, we pray a lot longer. We pray a lot earnestly. I mean, all of that fits us, right? It's even sad today to say this as well, that sometimes believers treat prayer like a spare tire. When the emergency happens, they pull out that spare tire, they pray, but when all gets fixed, they put the spare tire back in the trunk, they stop praying until the next emergency. And so along with Paul, I myself don't want any of us to be in that bracket, because I believe if we're all honest, if all of us are honest, I believe we all need improvement in our prayer life. How many of you have ever been praying with the Lord and you fall asleep? You really become one with the Lord, right? My wife is so funny. I'll be transparent. I'll grab a book and I'll say, I'm going to go in the bedroom and read. And she's like, no, you're not. You're going to bed. I start off reading. I read the same page about five times and then I finally go to sleep. But all of us need improvement in our prayer life. And I pray that it would not be complicated. I know that sometimes it may feel a little awkward. Who am I talking to? Why am I praying? Is it just going up into the air? Is God really hearing me? It could be a little, you know, unnatural at times. But this is what I want us to understand about prayer. It is an amazing privilege. I want you to understand what prayer is for us. And that is this, that you and I can talk to God at any time and at any place. That's a huge privilege. Let me put it in another way. The very one who spoke everything into existence, the moment you utter his words, the moment you utter his name, that he would hear you speak. That's pretty powerful. And what an amazing privilege that is for us today, that we have 24/7 access to the one who created all things. And if he created all things, can I just encourage you that whatever circumstance that you have in your heart, he's more than capable of fixing it? Because if he has enough power to speak everything into existence, he has enough power to fix whatever's going on in your life. And so the Bible also tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, that we should be praying without ceasing. A continual prayer, a continual time of just not occasionally, but on a regular basis. And I just want to share this with you, because what are some of the benefits when we pray, when we talk with God? Well, listen, the first one is this. Our relationship with God grows stronger. You know, I get so blessed when we have times of fellowship, when we gather together and we're here having a meal or a barbecue, whatever, and we walk around and we get to meet different people and we have conversations about the Lord from table to table. What an amazing joy it is to hear people talking about the Lord. That's fellowship. But do you also realize that when you are praying, you are having fellowship with the Lord? This is the beauty of how your relationship grows. It is one of the essentials that we need to do. And so not only does our relationship grow stronger with the Lord, but as we pray, we get to talk to God about anything and everything. Listen, I want to encourage you. If you're mad, go to God. It's okay to be angry. Share with him your heart. Lord, if you don't come right now, I'm about to get a case. This person's getting under my skin. God wants to hear from you at that time. God wants you to share your concerns and your cares, your fears. He wants to hear that we need his wisdom. Listen, all of these things through prayer, we get the opportunity to do. But here's the other thing. As we come to the Lord, he already knows what we need. And as we pray, what else does it do? What are the benefits? When you seek God, your hearts and your minds will be filled with peace. How do we know that? Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. No matter what may be happening, God, when your heart is centered and you're praying and you're seeking him, it gives you such a peace that you don't need to freak out even in the midst of some major drama or whatever's going on, that you have complete peace that God's got you. You know, one of the other things that the benefit of prayer is this, that we get to join hands with God to accomplish his purpose here on this earth. Again, beloved, God desires to use each and every one of us to build for his kingdom. So prayer helps to develop that. The other thing that I pray that we would see is that this phrase of us being a part of God's will or doing his will here on earth, that's what Paul is speaking about, being vigilant. It means to be watchful. It means to, you know, keep praying and be persistent in your prayer. To pray about what's going on, not just in your life, but in others. To be able to pray for those things that are going on in our world. To pray and ask God to help you stand for truth when a world is wanting to do everything just wrong. How many of you would agree that that's pretty hard today? But listen, if we look at what the scriptures are telling us, we need to be praying. Because as the days get darker, there's nobody else praying for our leaders. Listen, if you are unhappy with the way that our government and our world is at this present time, don't just vent on social media. Get on your knees and start praying. How about with all of the stuff that's happening in our nation? All of the different laws that are being passed. Don't complain about it. Pray over it. Pray over them. Pray over those and the things that are happening in our nation. All of the evil and hatred that's going around. All of the evil that's taking place. Don't just do it because I say so. Do it because the Word of God says so. Where do we see it in the Scripture? 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, I exult first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. It is our responsibility to pray for these people. So not only is prayer benefiting, you know, it's a benefit for all of us, but look at what Paul also says in verse 3. Meanwhile, pray for us. Pray for him and the other believers that are in prison. Listen, even though the apostle Paul, again, he's a mighty man of God, he's an apostle, yet he's not afraid to ask for prayer. And I want you to notice what he prayed for. Remember, he's in prison. Now, let me ask you, if you were writing a letter asking for prayer, what do you think your first prayer would be? Lord, get me out of here. Lord, just open up the prison doors like you did for Peter. Right? If we were transparent, if not, I know you're lying, but anyways, no, I'm just kidding. But I want you to notice his prayer here. that God would open the door for them to speak the mysteries of Christ. Now, I want you to understand, he did not ask for them to pray that God would get him out of jail. What was he praying for? That God would open up more opportunities for them to share the gospel. That even in prison, though the chains may bound him, the gospel is never bound, beloved. That the gospel would keep going forward, whether in the prison or through the letters that Paul was writing. And I believe God answered that prayer because why? There's so many of these letters that the Apostle Paul wrote while he was in prison. And so not only was he praying for more opportunities, but he says very clearly, this is the reason why I'm in chains. It's not because he was doing something illegal, but because of his faith. What a challenge that is. Beloved, let me ask us this question. If there was a law enforced beginning Monday morning at 8 a.m. that all Christians would be arrested, would the cops come knocking on our door? Is our life really being a light for the Lord and demonstrating that we love him, that we pray to him, that our faith is not in secret, it's out in the public, that when people, if ever you see me out on the road, that, you know, again, that there would be times of sharing, there would be times of praying, even in the middle of an aisle at Walmart. Am I living my life in a way that demonstrates that I'm different from this world? And again, this is something that I pray that we would see, because one of the most encouraging things to me is this. Paul was more concerned about being a faithful minister than he was for his freedom. He was willing to suffer. And he was willing to suffer for what the Word of God is saying. And so I pray that we would see this. And again, when he says that I may make it known, he's speaking of the gospel manifested. What is Paul really saying? Pray that I would have boldness and that I would be able to clearly reveal Jesus to people. And I love this, because if I could ask, as the under shepherd of this fellowship, would you please make that prayer for me? That I would be, or Pastor Matt, any of the pastoral staff, that all of us here would have the ability to hear from the Lord and give you Jesus so clearly that the scriptures themselves would come to life for you. Pray that God would give us the ability to, again, not only just teach about Jesus, but that you would walk away with Jesus. Because the honest truth is this, my greatest desire and my prayer is that every person who attends our service would draw closer to Jesus. That your relationship is growing in Christ. And it is my prayer that not only would it grow while you're in this building, but listen, that you take Jesus home. That you take Jesus on your job site. That you take Jesus to the gym where you're working out at. That you would do all of these things because you love him. Not because you have to, but because you get to. And so this is what Paul is encouraging us. And then in verses 5 and 6, notice what he says. Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. And the word outside here means, in this verse, it's speaking of those who are not a part of the family of God, those who are outside of the faith. And as believers in Christ, here's what I want you to know. If you haven't discovered this, people are watching you. People who don't know about Christ, it amazes me how much they do know when you mess up. And I'm going to tell you right now, I have been called out by some non-believers before, especially on the construction site. I'll never forget, I had my hammer out, and I missed a nail, and guess what I hit? I hit my thumb. And a few colorful words came out, and they're all like, oh, hey, man, you're not supposed to be saying that. Isn't that a sin? And they, you know, I'm like, I'm glad you know your Bible. Can I quote it when you speak? Listen, we all slip up, right? Every now and then. But when people are watching us, why are they watching you? Because they want to know what you're preaching, if it's real. Because if you're preaching a message and not living by it, then why would they want what we have? Why would they want to follow Jesus if we're not? And so the reality is, Paul is saying here, he's exhorting us, walk in wisdom in front of them. In other words, don't hide or be ashamed that you're a follower of Christ. I think one of the saddest testimonies that any of us could ever have is that somebody would come up to you and say, I never knew you were a Christian. Because what does that reveal? That you're acting no different than the world. And so as we look at what Paul is in challenging us, he's encouraging us. What is it in simplicity? Just live for Jesus out in public. And not only that, but listen, we made an announcement this morning for our evangelism class. And I want you guys to understand and know this, because I think many of us get so caught up with the fact that God is desiring for us to share our faith, to talk to people about who he is. Now, show of hands, I'm going to ask for this, okay? Show of hands, how many of you feel comfortable walking up to a complete stranger and just sparking up a conversation? Oh, some of you are comfortable with it. Okay. All right. For most of us, our hands didn't go up, right? It's kind of awkward. I don't know this person. What am I supposed to say? Come to the evangelism class and you'll find out. But listen, can I get us beyond the fear of evangelism or fancy words about sharing your faith, sharing the gospel? Let me break it down as simply as possible. If you and I are taking in God's word on a daily basis, if we are actually applying what Psalm 1 verse 2 says, blessed is he who delights in the law of the Lord and meditates on it day and night. If you and I are taking in the word of God, if you and I are leaning on his wisdom, guess what? From the word of God to his wisdom and the gifting that we have of the Holy Spirit will lead us. God's wisdom, God's word, God's Holy Spirit will always lead us into living right. And not only will we live right, but the natural overflow of what we take in will just flow out. Now, be transparent with you. My wife's not here, so she can't yell at me. It's amazing how often I would talk about my wife to other people when we first met. It's amazing how I would share with people about her heart and just the things that she's encouraging me in and so forth. And now that we've been married for some 33 years, I don't, as often as I should, share about who she is. Sometimes as you walk through life, you'll be amazed, especially for us as married couples. Singles, you'll learn this when you get older. But isn't it so true that at times when things may not always go right, your spouse is kind of like your only friend? And it's not a mean friend. My wife is my greatest supporter. And I feel embarrassed at times that I don't talk about it as often as I should. And what I want to see here is us to understand and know the beauty that when we are led by the Lord, when we walk in his wisdom, his word will captivate us. It'll renew our thinking. We'll fall in love with him, and that's all we want to talk about. You guys already know that almost every single scripture, every single message that I ever give, there's got to be some reference to a burrito. Because I love them. And if I love something, then that's what's going to come out. And if we're loving God the way that he deserves, if we're surrendering our heart to him and he's filling us with more of him, then evangelism is just a natural overflow of our heart. Because God's not going to ask you to do anything that he's not going to enable you to do. So he says, don't hide. Live. That's what Paul is speaking of when he says, when you're with these people who are not of the faith, redeem the time. Be willing to talk with them. And not only talk with them, but listen, these are important things that we need to know. As you talk with people who do not know the Lord, one of the most common mistakes that we make is we talk to them as if they're believers. Let me give you an example. How many of you have ever heard the term Christianese? You ever heard that? Okay. So you're talking to a non-believer, and all of a sudden he says, so why do I need to believe in Jesus? Oh, bro, you need to be washed by the blood of the Lamb. They'll look at you like the way I just looked at you, and they'll think you've been watching some really bad vampire movies, right? It doesn't make sense to somebody who doesn't know the depth of what you're saying. But we talk to people as if they're believers, when reality is redeeming the time is just talking in your normal understanding of what Jesus has done for you. Why do you love Jesus so much? Because I discovered as I read his word that the only way that a person can be made right and have a good relationship with God is when I confess my sins, when I know that I've done things that are against his word, when I seek his forgiveness, and when I believe that Jesus' death on the cross was the way that God made it so that all could have this right relationship with him. I love him because of what he's done for me. Talk in plain English. Find common ground and be able to draw Jesus into the conversation. And when we do that, that's what redeeming the time means. And when you start planting those seeds and you start throwing them out there, sometimes people will, I don't know about you. That's okay. You didn't fail. You did everything that God asked you to do, which was share. It's God's responsibility to convert a heart, not yours. So not only do we get an opportunity to redeem the time, but then also verse 6, Paul says this, let your speech and your words always be with grace. In other words, be kind to all people. You know, it is so funny. Yesterday when we were out at Target, it was a madhouse. I'm just telling you right now, it was a madhouse. And you ever have that awkward moment when you're in an aisle and somebody's coming up to you and you're like, you both go this way and then you both go this way? Well, instead of just smiling and laughing, the lady looked at me like, it's like, okay. Be kind as much as we can. Just, hey, everyone has bad days, right? She didn't want to dance, so I get it. Okay. But in that process of when we come across people, we may get people who yell at us. We may get people who have just bad attitudes, hot tempers, and they just go off on us for no reason. And can I just encourage you, as hard as it is, just be kind. Why? Because kindness breaks down walls. It is God's kindness that leads to repentance. Does that mean I got to just sit there and listen? No, you could just politely just say, you know what? I can tell that you're obviously upset at something. I know it's not me, but I'll come back and talk to you at another time when you had some time to cool off. Just walk away. Have the ability, beloved, to always remember this, especially for those who are of the faith. There is no way that we could ever expect them to act right. And I'm not saying this meanly, but we're never to expect them to act right if they have no desire to know Jesus. They're just going to live the way that they've grown up. And again, that's not a put down. It's just that they don't know Jesus like you and I do. And so it's important for us that we just keep speaking truth, that we treat all people with kindness, because again, that's what God will use to break down walls. When Paul says that our words that they need to be seasoned with salt, in other words, they need to be tasteful. The conversation we enter in with non-believers, listen, again, just speak regular English, okay? Enjoy a conversation with people. It's okay to talk about sports. It's okay to talk about fishing, boating, whatever, about home improvement. It's okay to get into conversations with people. But what makes a conversation tasteful? When you and that other person have same interests, same common understanding of things, and that's where you take that conversation, become tasteful in a way that drops Jesus in it. And again, there's so many different ways to share your faith, and I would encourage you, join the class. But one of the greatest things that we need to understand is our conversations need to make sense. They need to spark interest, to spark curiosity, so that other people will start asking you, why are you so different? Because I guarantee you, they will ask you when you start sharing about your love for Jesus and why you don't do certain things. One of the other things that salt was used for back in those days and even today was to preserve meat or fish. It could also, listen, be used for medicinal purposes for healing cuts. Now, I don't advise you to do that today. We have doctors. But there was so much good use of salt. And what do I believe Paul wanting us to understand? We need to realize we are either going to add flavor to a conversation or put it to death. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21 says this, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. So you may have somebody on your job site that just talk a bunch of nonsense because that's what he loves. But if you engage in that conversation, talk about what you love. And I guarantee you, it will spark interest. Had plenty of times in a construction site where people would mock me publicly in front of everybody. But the moment I started working one-on-one with people, they would say, so does the Bible really say this? It sure does. Let me show it to you. Why don't you hang out with us anymore, man? You used to be cool. I was like, well, there's a couple of things that I can share with you why. And I said, I want to commit my life to the Lord. And if there's anything in my life that would hinder that, I'm removing it. Not because of what you do. This is my choice. I want to love Jesus, and I want him to have my whole heart. And if I start filling it with beer, if I start filling it with other things, then it's going to move me away from ever being used by the Lord. And I don't want that. Had nothing to do with you. I like you. You're cool people. Even though you don't think I'm cool, you're cool. But this is who I am. And then little by little, more and more opportunities happen to share. And it's a great thing. But listen carefully. We need to pray that we would live out this verse because we need to speak clearly in our own words what Jesus did for us. We need to stand for the truth of God's word. Preserve it. Don't water it down. Don't skip over things just because it will make people feel uncomfortable. You know what? Can I just be honest with you? We need to be uncomfortable. You want to know why? Because if we're only here to please men, then we got our reward. But God's word will be offensive to people because it's the truth. And not only is it the truth, but listen, because of the way that the world is going, they need to hear some truth. Because they are definitely buying into a lie. God's word also brings healing. Do you believe that, beloved? It can bring healing. It can not only, you know, change a person's destiny from hell to heaven, but the beauty that we have with God's word, it's his love letter to you. That's the beauty that we have. Verse 6, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. In other words, we need to be students of the word. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 tells us to be diligent to present yourselves to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. All of us in here should be able to tell people why we believe in Jesus. All of us in here should be able to actually pray with somebody to receive Jesus. There's not just one formula. One of the greatest things that we can do is let the Lord lead us in how to do them. And you'll discover that once again, as you get into the word, it comes naturally flowing out of you. And God's Holy Spirit is there to bring you those words when you need them at that exact time. So this is the amazing gift that we have from the Lord. Now, for the sake of time, because we are going to take communion, and some of you are doubting. But from verse 7 to 18, listen carefully. This is Paul's example of those who have walked in wisdom. And I just want to kind of touch really briefly. We're going to go really quickly. I'm not going to read every single verse. But notice verse 7 and 8. Tychicus was a beloved brother. But notice what Paul says about him as his example of walking in wisdom. He says this about him. He was a faithful minister and a servant. And I'm sending him to you. For what reason? To comfort your hearts. You see, when you walk in wisdom, you get the privilege of serving the Lord in ways that you never thought you would. Verse 9, Onesimus, this is a great testimony here. This person was from Colossae. If you go back to the book of Philemon, you will discover when he left Colossae, he was a fugitive. He was a slave running away from his master. Somehow the Apostle Paul and his life got connected. He gets saved. Now notice the testimony. From a slave, how does Paul describe him? A faithful brother in the Lord. No longer looking at him as a slave, but as a brother in the Lord. What an amazing testimony. A life radically transformed and changed from the inside out. In verse 10, Aristarchus was a fellow prisoner, one who also served alongside the Apostle Paul. But also in that same verse, verse 10, it says Mark, the cousin of Barnabas. How many of you remember who this Mark is? If you go back to the book of Acts, listen carefully. This is the same Mark that left Paul and Barnabas while they were on their first missionary journey. We don't know exactly all of the details why he left, but he left the mission field to go back home. The second missionary journey, as it began, Barnabas wanted to bring Mark along with them again, and Paul said no, to the point where they started arguing very strongly, and the team broke up. Paul took Silas and went one way. Barnabas took Mark, and they went a different way. Both of them continued to serve the Lord, but here is the blessing. Again, walking in wisdom, what does that do? Teaches us how to live right, love well, forgive others, and now we see Mark back with Paul. A true restoration. Friendships that have gone wrong, now restored. That's how good our God is. So not only do we see this amazing restoration happen, verse 11, Jesus called Justice, and he lists a few other people. He didn't give their names, but they were faithful Jews, ones who believed in the Messiah. You know why Paul was in prison? Because of his own countrymen accusing him of blasphemy. Now we see Jews serving alongside of him. Verse 12, Epaphras. Some believe he was the under-shepherd of the church here in Colossae. Paul's testimony of him, he labored for them. He had zeal for them. He had a love for them. Amazing testimony of somebody who's walking in wisdom. Verse 14, Luke, who is with Paul. This is the same Luke who wrote the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts. And by the way, I think it's a good thing to travel with the doctor, right? In case you have any issues. But also in verse 14, here's where it goes a little sideways. Demas. It says here that he was with Paul, but he would also fall away. According to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10, Demas had a love more for the world than he did for Jesus. And he got sucked back into it. So though he may have been walking and serving, he fell away. This is a person who I believe that we can be very transparent and bold and say he didn't walk in wisdom. Verse 15, Nymphas, if I pronounce that correctly, if not, please forgive me. But he had a church that met in his home, gift of hospitality, somebody who opened up his home for people to know Jesus. Archippus is also believed that he was the under-shepherd of the church there in Laodicea. And Paul is encouraging him to stay the course, to fulfill what God's called him to do. So we have this amazing testimony of people who were walking in wisdom. And beloved, this is where I want to challenge us now as we close this letter. Because as we look at everything that the book of Colossians had to offer us today, this is the honest truth that I believe God wants us to see. And that is this, that he is the ultimate God overall, that Christ is supreme, that he is God in the flesh. He is the creator of all things and is above all things. Beloved, he has complete control over all things. We also learned this, that he is the one who redeemed us. Again, setting us free from sin so that we could now live for him. No more in bondage, no more under the influence of the enemy. And in the last two chapters of this book, Paul's desire was for us to learn what it means to live out what he's teaching us, to walk in wisdom, to take what God is teaching us and to apply it to our life. Because it is times such as this, where the light needs to shine brighter than the darkness. It is times like this right now, beloved, that I want us to understand that we can say goodbye to our past and live for Jesus for today. These are the things that I pray that you and I would decide to do today. That as we learned everything that we can, and we're going to learn more as we keep digging into the Word, but today is the day you choose. Because I want to now read to you verse 19. Are you guys ready? Yeah, for those of you who are laughing, realize there's no verse 19. But what do I mean by that? It's not that I have a different Bible. But here's the truth. Verse 19 would read your testimony. Verse 19 would it declare that you're walking in wisdom. Because Joshua made it very clear, as he was one of God's leaders. And I want to put the verse up there. Can you guys put it up? And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And I pray that that would be our testimony. I pray that verse 19, you would put your name in there and say, today, I am choosing to walk in wisdom. I am choosing today to live for the Lord. And beloved, this is not just for some. Again, we have the most amazing privilege to have a right relationship with God. He has a desire to use each and every one of us to build for his kingdom. Can I get an amen? Amen. Worship team, come on forward. Father, I want to thank you so much for this morning, and I want to thank you for, again, the opportunity of us opening up your word and closing this book. But I pray that as we do, that we would, again, take to heart those things that you have been teaching us, that in every aspect of our life, we would surrender and live for your will. God, would you please help us today to walk in wisdom, that in every decision, every circumstance of our life, that God, we would again be a light for you, that we would not be ashamed or hide the fact that we have faith. And I pray that today, Lord, more and more people would start asking the questions, why are you so different? That our life would demonstrate not only you, but literally be that living epistle for people to read. And we can only do it, Lord, because of you. So help us all today to learn how to trust in you, to live for you, and to bring your name glory. God, help us today to stand firm in your truth. Help us today, Lord, to give people Jesus so clearly that by hearing simple words of what you've done, their lives would be changed, that they would also enjoy a new life with you. So God, please help us this day. And it's in Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen.